Please take your seats. We'll get started. We have two more presenters this afternoon, and after that we'll do a short wrap-up session, and I'll let everyone have a quick break before the reception tonight. I understand a number of people are concerned about missing email for a long period of time. So we'll try to give you a 15 to 35 minute time to go back to your room and make your calls or do your emails before the reception starts. So on that note, let's jump into the next presentation. The next presenter is Mark Strassman. He's Harvard educated, trained as a journalist at Stanford University. Mark Strassman has been looking for ways to put technology to political and social use for over 20 years. The presentation that he has is, I think, a little bit different than some of the other ones we've seen today, and it's definitely got a political edge, so I think we'll probably have some good discussion afterwards. Mark?
Thanks, Lisa. I want to thank Lisa for inviting me to speak. I want to thank all of you for showing up, even though it's late. And I want to thank you for being the largest audience I've ever addressed where I don't have to explain what a digital certificate is. And if I do, raise your hand and I'll try. The title of this talk is Toward a Ubiquitous E-Democracy Powered by a Universal PKI. I was trying to get the longest title, but one that was a little catchy as well. And the point is that what I'm trying to do is empower all of the citizens of California, the United States, Canada, and other countries through PKI, because what's missing is their ability to present themselves legally and authenticatedly to the government or to the elections process. And with PKI, I believe they can, and that's why I've been looking for ways for about 4 years to implement a policy that would let them do that. To rush right through some, many of the rushing through, I thought I would have 30 minutes to talk. I have 20, so I'm going to use a compression algorithm. So if there's just some missing spaces there, just fill in the gaps. Okay. The most important thing to me about the internet is that it's a mechanism for disintermediation. It allows people to do things directly, and we've seen examples today of how they can do that. As you all know from your own experience, some organizations are more apt to do that, are more willing, or more early adapters, and do that sooner. Government in the past hasn't been one of the early adopters, but it's moving ahead pretty well in a lot of areas. And it also has the advantage for people like me who want it to do more, that as the government of the people, it's in some sense obligated to listen to what the people want it to do. And if what the people want it to do is give them all PKI certificates, digital certificates, then they're more likely to have to heed that than, say, a private company. I want to briefly set the stage for what I'm trying to do with some events that I've been watching and trying to analyze, the most famous of which is the Napster controversy, whereby millions of copies of MP3 files with music in them have been downloaded and traded peer-to-peer, and this has aroused the wrath of the music companies that would rather be mediators and get paid for that, and they've gone to court, and the issue is still in the courts, but it hasn't been looking good for Napster in the last few sessions. Also, on eBay, I don't know, this is a little less well-known event, a citizen in, I think it was Maryland, said that he was tired of having the politicians be the only people who could sell their votes to the highest bidder. And he decided that all the people should have that right. So he put his vote up for sale on eBay. Just to show how much they are watching the internet, a lot of elections officials in a lot of jurisdictions said, this is wrong, illegal, you can't do it, stop. And of course, they did, although an Austrian company bought the company that was doing that. We'll see what happens eventually. From these two incidents, I've essentially developed a timeline or a topology for these events in which some segment of the population engages in spontaneous popular disintermediation. And the authority in charge of that particular area steps in to quell what you could probably call a digital civil disturbance and stops it. But the process is there. If Napster dies, there are other programs that will do that. The internet inherently can do this. And so more and more people are going to do it. And I was looking for more examples. And in fact, just in the last week, the Motion Picture Association of America and the Home Recording Rights Coalition, which is a group of people say you should be able to record the digital files that are going to be coming through movies and television and so on, and they're arguing about it. And in fact, over the weekend, I saw that in Winnipeg, a number of irate citizens, people who were irate because people were driving into their neighborhood and hiring prostitutes and driving off, took to taking the license numbers of the people who were doing this and putting it on the internet. So you'd think this would be something no one would object to, except, of course, the people whose numbers were up there. But the police, in fact, came on the air right after that and said, well, we're doing a program of diversion, and we need to have anonymity, and this is bad, and they shouldn't be doing it. So in a lot of cases, what happens then, the people do something, the authorities say, you know, we don't like this, and a stop is generally put to it. What I'm trying to do with the Smart Initiatives Project is come up with a scheme that uses the energy that people have to do something over the internet and the power that the internet has to do it, and does it legally, straightforwardly, and in fact works to position itself to change laws that people don't want to have. That leads to my main proposition, which is let's use the internet to sign initiative petitions. And I don't know how much I have to explain about initiatives to people here, although you understand about the PKI part. 24 states in the United States, and I don't know what the situation is in Canada, allow the population to sign paper, blue ink, and collect a number of signatures and put ballot measures on the ballot that say you can't be nice to immigrants, you have to have education of this kind, you have to have medical marijuana legal, these kind of things. Those are the initiatives. As it now exists, this process, like all the other ones that have been discussed here, especially some of the e-original process, these are information processes. They involve someone writing the initiative, showing it to people, asking them to sign it. They sign it. Those signatures are taken en masse to the election authorities, who then have teams of people checking the ink signatures with the signatures that have been put on people's registration cards. I don't know whether they, sometimes I think they use screens where they project the written signatures. I imagine it as a huge warehouse with people on roller skates going back and forth, checking the signatures back and forth. It's so expensive and so complicated and takes so long that they don't check all the signatures. They check like 5% of the signatures, and then they use some complicated arcane formula to extrapolate and say you've collected enough or you haven't. You need 419,260 signatures, good signatures, in California to put an initiative on the ballot, which means you need about 600 or 700 gross to get down to that level, and it costs $1 million to do that, and it shouldn't cost $1 million to do that. It's my contention, and the basis of the whole process, that digital authentication of every single signature is preferable to the random manual authentication of some signatures. It just seems self-evident, because not only can it be faster, cheaper, it could be more accurate, and you can get rid of duplicates and so on. It's just a massively superior way to do it. We all know how impossible it would have been for us to get here or be here or communicate through our computers or through phones or get hotel reservations or trains or planes without massive networks of computers that are networked and that do all that work. If we didn't have that, we couldn't live the way we do. There are some areas, of course, where this message hasn't gotten through, and one of the principal ones are the election officials who haven't implemented this technology yet. And in fact, because they haven't, the process for initiative signing is long, complicated, expensive, and fraught with possibility of error.
Somebody not heavily involved in the issue.
I think the digital signature technology could solve these problems. I think that by implementing a system where people could use their digital certificates to sign initiative petitions online, many of those problems, all those problems would disappear. It would help everyone. It would help the proponents, who wouldn't have to raise $1 million. It would help the signers, who would be able to do it in the comfort of their home or office rather than being harassed on street corners. And it would, above all, help the election officials, who would have a faster, cheaper, more accurate system to do it. It's already, as has been apparent by the whole thrust of what's been going on here, e-commerce is soon going to be called commerce, as we already call email mail, and e-signing, I think, will soon be called signing. And that's in part going to be a reflection of what happens if, as I'm trying to do, millions of more people get digital certificates and are able to start e-signing initiative petitions. So I wrote and submitted to the state, the Office of Legislative Counsel, which put it into legal language, which returned to me, and then I sent it back to the Attorney General, where it now is, the Smart Initiatives Initiative. This is a piece of law that's now pending in the Attorney General's office. They're writing a summary, and they're figuring out how much it costs. I don't know if anyone here, but several people from companies that I recommended them to who know more about digital certificates and smart cards than I do have been consulting with them to figure out how much it's going to cost to give everyone in California a certificate on a smart card. What the Smart Initiatives Initiative will do is give everyone in the state a smart card and a digital certificate on it and the right to use it to sign initiative petitions. It will have binding legal effect. Now, I had been thinking before today that they would also be able to use this to do other PKI-related business, but the thrust here seems to be that people should use this to get individual applets and subcards and secondary cards, and I think that's probably a good idea, and there'll probably be additional iterations of the bill and an opportunity to do that, which relates to the fact that I would like as much feedback now, later, by email that I'm going to show you, about how you think this could be made to work as well as possible. And the state of California would essentially be the CA for all this. And this would be an example of political reform through internet power. The internet has unprecedented power. It's changing business and personal life and communications and entertainment, but it isn't, and it's changing politics on the campaigning side, and it's changing government on the government side, but it hasn't really changed the elections part of it. And I think that by putting PKI in as a central element in the elections process, then it will be strengthened as the solution of choice for e-government and perhaps even become more popular as a political tool, which is what this says. And the principal obstacle right now, it seems to me, is not technical but political, that the people who will be disintermediated by this, namely elected officials and bureaucrats working in the many of these hierarchies, aren't happy with this. They don't want it. They make up reasons to say it's bad. And that's why it has to be done as an initiative, not as legislation through the state legislatures, because those are the people who would be principally disintermediated, and they don't want to be. David Broder wrote a book called Democracy Derailed. He says initiatives are, without reference to electronic initiatives, he says they're bad, they're the plaything of the rich, they're not good for democracy. He doesn't mention, of course, that powerful corporations and individuals are also able to give something called campaign contributions to officials to elect them and then work their will that way. Whereas the initiative process, while sometimes used by rich people for their personal bandwagons, is also a means by which a lot of people can influence the government in a way that they can't now. And of course, if they could all use digital certificates to sign the petitions and then vote, then they'd be able to influence them even more. So I, among the other things that I see it as, I see electronic initiatives, smart initiatives, initiative as a way of countering this effort that's being made by a number of writers and politicians to limit the power of initiatives, to cut them back. In fact, the governor of Maine, the governor of Arizona have just suggested that the number of signatures to be required be raised. I'm not completely averse to raising the signatures number, but it would be a useful trade-off if people were allowed to sign them digitally, because you want something to be seriously supported by a large proportion of the population, but you want it to be easy for them to sign rather than that being another obstacle. And as I said a minute ago, I think the initiative process is the way to go here, because the legislatures aren't going to disempower themselves. And I see the smart initiatives as another example of taking the technology, putting it into a social context, and enabling things that couldn't be done before to be done now. Fortunately or unfortunately, smart initiatives need to bootstrap themselves from pre-smart initiatives. I won't call them stupid initiatives, but pre-smart initiatives that exist now. That is to say, the manual collection of 500,000 or more signatures paid for in California by $1 million. California, it would cost $1 million to do this in California. There are companies that will do this. You give them a check for $1 million, and they'll collect the signatures for you. Because California is such a populous state and has relatively high levels of signature requirements, the other 23 states that have the initiative process can be a similar initiative could be qualified there for only another $2 million. So California makes up essentially a third of the total. But for only $3 million, it would be possible to qualify, not pass, but qualify the Smart Initiatives Initiative in all of those states. As I said, 24 states have that process. Their total population is 131,192,000. If you figure that maybe 80% of the people there are over 18 and would be entitled to certificates, that's about 100 million certificates. You do the math. This comes from the U.S. Census, that number. And now for the money part of our program. It says here money matters, same as it ever was. While I think that putting in place a smart initiatives bill and passing it would greatly empower everybody and take money out of politics a lot, it requires the collection of $1 million to do that, because that's what the old system says. And the essence of my message here is, if you collectively or you as individuals feel that this would be worthwhile and it would be good for business and it would help you, and or that you think politically it's a good idea, then you need to get in touch with me and explain how we can work together so we can raise that money and give it to the people who are going to collect the signatures and put this on the ballot and then implement the initiatives the Smart Initiatives Initiative. Here are the in addition to the voters and the proponents and the election officials, here are three classes of people who are going to benefit by getting smart initiatives passed. First will be public key infrastructure providers. Second will be smart card providers. And third will be electronic services providers. And after the e-original talk, I'm even more convinced of that, because all of the real estate people and insurance people and people of that type who can now, under Senate Bill 761, the e-sign bill, legally do electronic business, they still need to have all of their potential customers have digital certificates. And I think that Smart Initiatives is kind of a double package that would allow people to sign the initiative petitions, and it would also allow them to buy insurance policies and do mortgages and do all kinds of things that the original people would like to have them do in all these other fields. But let me focus on what good this does for PKI providers. The state of California, under the Smart Initiatives Initiative, will need to set itself up as the world's largest CA, and it's going to need to buy all the expertise and equipment and algorithms and whatnot that it's going to need to do this from you. And it would probably, I don't know what the federal government's up to in detail, but it would probably be the biggest order everybody here ever got. And that's just California. There's another 150, 160 million people in the other states. So it would provide a big order for everyone. It requires it. It doesn't say you can think about it. It doesn't say you should study it. It says you should do it. And they'd have to come to you to get it done. I also think that the states that don't have either don't have initiative process or don't get a smart initiative bill passed will say, well, look, in California they're doing that, and the people there are shopping and going to school and doing all kinds of things on the internet, and the people here aren't. So we're in trouble. We'd better do something about it. So other states, even ones that don't buy in originally to the smart initiatives, they may do smart initiatives. They may just get PKI of some kind on the state level. I also think that if you get, say, 30 million people in California with these certificates, that's going to do a lot to jumpstart the market for smart card readers, and it's also going to set up the opportunity for a lot of companies everywhere in the world to create the opportunity for people to use their certs in their business. So, and that will make more people want to have certs, and it'll be a virtuous cycle, I think, that could be generated by the network externalities. As I think I said earlier, also, in the three sectors, politics, elections, and government, if PKI becomes the linchpin of the elections process, then this will make it easier to do more e-government with more need for your service to be provided to the governments, and maybe also a little bit for the politicians. And essentially what it would do, it will mainstream PKI so that it becomes a commonly discussed subject. People understand what it is. They understand the benefits and so on. Which leads to this point. I think it's no guarantee if we get the $1 million and we put it on the ballot that it'll pass. I think it'll probably take $3 or $5 million more to get it to pass it. But it's not guaranteed. There may be David Broder may speak up and down the state everywhere and say it's really a bad idea or something. But even if it loses, and that should be considered under risk management, I think there'd be a substantial benefit to the PKI community. I mean, I'm saying this, but I think it's true that there'd be a substantial benefit to the PKI community because of the debates and the arguments and the refutation. Because, you know, as long as they spell your name right, you're getting something out of it. So if the opponents of doing this say, you know, PKI is just a bad idea, they got to explain what it is, and people have to hear about it and understand it and think about it. And they may say, you know, maybe this isn't exactly the way to do it, but this sounds like a good thing. We want to do it somehow. And eventually there'll be a payoff down the road. So to summarize that part, if it qualifies and wins, you get a big order. If it qualifies and loses, you get a lot more publicity than you could pay for, than you'd get with a comparable amount of money spent on, you know, inserts in something or another. I don't know if you want to hear about what I've done. This is not the first time I've tried to do this. I've been working for about 20 years to take the power of technology and put it to work in a political or a social sense. When I wrote for the Stanford Daily, I did the politics and science reporting, and I found that the scientists didn't much understand the politics, except for Dr. Teller's as an exception. And the politicians who were making big decisions about nuclear power and swine flu inoculation and recombinant DNA didn't understand the science. And it seemed to me important to have someone who could mediate between the scientific and political, now the technological and the political, to explain things to people so they could understand, make choices on their own, and benefit as much as possible from what the scientists and technologists are doing. I ran for Congress in 1980 on a platform of compute, don't commute. And this was telework, stay home. And from what I've seen of the freeways in Silicon Valley, where I don't live anymore, or the freeways in Los Angeles, where I do, it's a better idea than ever. I also helped found the Palo Alto Cable Co-op, which was an idea of letting the people there own their own cable plant. And after several years of Machiavellian maneuvering by everyone involved, we won the contract. The company was essentially undercapitalized. AT&T eventually bought it, but it was an interesting idea. In 1996, I wrote the Virtual Voting Rights Initiative, which stipulated that everyone in California gets a digital certificate. They can use it to vote. They can use it to sign initiative petitions. I didn't raise $1 million. I couldn't get it on the ballot. It was, however, converted into a bill in Sacramento, where it was strongly modified, passed, vetoed by the governor. The governor said in his veto message, he said, since the security of internet voting is not yet proven, it would be premature to study the security of internet voting. And so I came, undaunted, in 1999, I wrote the California Internet Voting Initiative, which took out the initiatives part and just said certificates for everyone and voting. Didn't raise $1 million again. So this year I put together the Smart Initiatives Initiative, which doesn't have voting but does have initiatives. It does have certificates for everyone and initiatives. And I think that may be the, I hope that's the key. And I see this as one more effort of mine to try to take what technology can do and educate people about it and give them choices about it and let them use it for their benefit. There's no doubt that technology will bring enormous changes. It's bringing enormous changes, and the rate of change is accelerating. It's important. It seems to me important that the millions of people who are being affected by this have an upward flow for the information. Because if it's just a top-down situation where it's decreed what will happen and here's how things will work, and people down here, they may be happy for a while, saying, "Oh, well, that's a fun toy, and that's a fun toy." But eventually they're going to get restless, like that guy who wanted to sell his vote on eBay. And millions of people feel that way. And I think if the power of the internet can be used to empower the people to make decisions about their own self-governance, then they'll feel better, and they'll be able to govern themselves better. And that's what we'll have, a more democratic society, and that will be good for everyone. So we don't really need any more tools. We've got democratic constitutions, wherever all of us who live in democracies, and we've got the internet. And I think that the synergy between the two is powerful and one that we should take advantage of. Therefore, I think we don't have to take a pledge, but I think we should decide that we want to push for smart initiatives wherever we can and get them implemented. And that would be political reform through internet power. The watchword here, when I was in France in 1968, the students were all clustered in the courtyard, and they were surrounding two big statues of the people who the French admire the most: Louis Pasteur, who invented pasteurization and discovered the bacterial nature of disease, pretty much, and Victor Hugo, who, among other things, wrote Les Misérables, which, as you all know, became a well-known Broadway play. But he also said, "There is nothing on earth more powerful than an idea whose time has come," and I think that smart initiatives may be an idea whose time has come, and I think with your help it will be an idea whose time has come, and I want to thank you for listening to me about it.
Thank you, Mark. Are there any questions?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I appreciate that. Before this goes off, let me show you where you can find out more information. www.smartinitiatives.org is the website. You can go there. You can join the mailing list. You can read the initiative. You can read something I wrote about it, and so on. If you want a copy of this presentation, email info@smartinitiatives.org, and I'll send you a copy of the PowerPoint slides. And if you want to contact me,
on our website, by the way.
Right. Right, and if you want, this is new. The one in the book is okay, but this one's more up to date. Executive Director XD at Smart Initiatives. You can reach me at XD at Smart Initiatives. Any more questions?
You talk about how expensive it is now to get on the ballot. How expensive is it going to take to certify and validate 30 million people?
Well, it's going to take longer than it would to take to it'll be a sunk cost. I mean, it needs to be done once with renewals, and then the process each time will be much easier and cheaper and faster. But it will take a long time. It will take the efforts of everybody in here thinking about it, figuring it out, and doing it to do it. It would be a gargantuan task, but, you know, someone's got to do it sometime first.
Another question?
How about doing like absentee ballots or something like that? Because those are the folks that are the system that we're trying to destroy.
The absentee? No, I think this works with absentee ballots. Okay, as it now exists, you can order an absentee ballot on the internet by going to a site and filling out your information, and they'll mail you a paper request for an absentee ballot. While the Smart Initiative doesn't authorize the use of these certificates for requesting absentee ballots, it would probably be within the authority of the election authorities to do that. And I think once they see this, I'm thinking that they would want to do that. If they wouldn't, it would be possible to do an initiative saying that they could. And it's a very good point that you're making, though, because absentee ballots are, for example, in Oregon, all the ballots are absentee. And increasingly in all the states, an increasing proportion of people are using absentee ballots. So I think getting this in place would make it easier to get an absentee ballot. And you could request one and use your certificate and send it to you. And you could mail it in mail the paper in.
We could probably take one last question or comment. Does anyone have one? No? Okay, great. Well, thanks again.
Thank you again.